Andy Rice with Heroes and Zeros. Before we talk about Heroes and Zeros, because it's kind of hero potentially going to zero, Total Sport removing sort of any evidence of Eben Etzebeth from its stores, doing so this week. And I would have thought if Total Sports in its the corporate of Total Sports was as deeply offended by the allegation that Eben Etzebeth was involved in a racist incident before they went off to the Rugby World Cup, they would have taken the posters down as soon as they heard about the allegation. This just smacks of opportunism.
Unless, of course, they're more driven by the top line and revenue than they are by brand principles. Now, I don't know the answer to that one, but I do know that celebrity or sportswoman sponsorship is, to some extent, a high-risk, high-reward strategy for a brand. You are, in effect, renting that celebrity's equity in favor of your brand, and you do it on the basis that they make a good match, your brand and their brand. But it's like fast tracking, writing out a check and fast tracking to somewhere further down the brand equity spectrum. And of course, what can happen is that if you don't anticipate all the eventualities, you can be caught out. How many of Hansi Cronje's sponsors anticipated that he would turn out to be not the squeaky clean captain that we thought? How many of Tiger Woods' sponsors turned him from being into a god to the devil? I think that what's happened here is that there's probably insufficient anticipation of crisis management, insufficient anticipation that Etzebeth might turn out to have a weaker side. And we don't know the story yet. We'll find out.
We don't know. But, I mean, just for a brand, though, to sort of react a month into a crisis is not a brand taking a position on any kind of moral standpoint. It's a brand taking a commercial decision. More of our customers are offended by the existence of the posters in the stores. So they're making a call, and if it's a 60-40, 50-50, they're going to upset lots of customers either way.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of brands actually almost encourage a bit of controversy. So, I mean, Nike is the obvious example. Whenever there's anyone who seems to be stirring up the media, then Nike going to slap a swoosh on their chest. But I think this is exactly as you say, Bruce. I think they've suddenly realized that they got the trading figures in and thought, hello, what's causing this problem? And decided that it was an improper association of their brand with Eben Etzebeth.
Okay, so Total Sports has taken the posters down. Eben Etzebeth will be coming home and will be facing the music on that particular front. Nivea Men, a range of products for men who don't buy products. It's Manly and Butch.
Yeah, and they've got a TV commercial on air at the moment, which I'm sure must be an internationally produced one. It's got every single visual and audio cliche you can think of.
This is your zero, I take it.
This is my zero, yes. I think we've got a bit of the audio to listen to.
No, we don't, I'm afraid.
No, we don't.
No, it was in one place, and then it went on a detour, and then it just went.
Well, let me do the voiceover for you in my inimitable style.
Go.
New Nivea Men, deep antiperspirant with powerful active charcoal for 48-hour protection against sweat and germs. It's time to change your game. Nivea Men, it starts with you. And throughout all of that stuff,
I must have six of those.
Particularly because of the active charcoal. I mean, that makes
Woolworths has started putting blooming activated charcoal into juices. Oh, for goodness sake.
And when I say, Bruce, Nivea, it starts with you. That'll change your behavior overnight, presumably.
What starts with me?
Well, I have no idea. Nor have I any idea where it finishes. But this is typical hackneyed stuff, visual stereotypes, corny, meaningless copy, lowest common denominator work that offends no one and inspires no one. It's really quite lacking in bravery. And I mean, from that, you might conclude it's my zero.
It's your zero. I mean, 1980s adverts were men, buff men in towels, in dressing
exactly
rooms.
Exactly what we've got here.
Sort of spray shield from 30 centimeters away, gassing out the room and putting carbon CO2 into the atmosphere. And you know, that was cool in the 80s.
But what Nivea have done now to show that they've come on from the 80s is that the model is still buff and with a towel around his waist, except he now has extensive body art. That's what makes him contemporary and makes this a really up-to-date
commercial. It's a new idea, you see.
Yeah,
I'm hurt that you would poo-poo the idea. But activated charcoal going into everything. everything. The only place charcoal belongs is in a braai. But anyway, that's it's a weird idea. And then your hero, please.
Well, this is interesting because it's not technically, I suppose, anything that exists. It's either a historical hero or a hypothetical hero, depending on how you want to look at it. If we think back, what anniversary earlier this year, 50-year anniversary, was celebrated globally? Well, it was, of course,
one small step.
Exactly, the moon landing. And on the day that the lunar module touched down, and we must remember the lunar module is a very strange looking thing with legs and struts and spokes and things, because it hasn't got to be aerodynamic. It's just this weird looking monster that lands on the moon. In many newspapers around the world that morning was an advertisement for the VW Beetle that says, "It's ugly, but it gets you there." Which was perhaps the best example, in my view, of topical advertising ever, because it was on such a global basis. But it struck me when I was watching the rugby this past weekend and listening to all the pundits saying, in effect, "It's ugly rugby, but it got us there." John Smith was interviewed, and he was talking about the game being beautifully ugly, and the difference between beauty and ugliness being about 3 points, he said. So I would like to throw it out there to any brand that wants to use that idea, because I have seen very little topical advertising around the Rugby World Cup this year. I'm not quite sure why that is. Perhaps it's they're all scared of doing a total sports on themselves. But
quite possibly. But I love that. I'm just going to find the original ad. I would love to see it. But yes, it's ugly, but it gets
here. It's just got the LEM on the moon surface and a VW logo and no copy other than this one line that says, "It's ugly, but it gets you there."
What was the material used in building the module that landed on the moon?
Baking foil.
Almost. It was aluminium. Yes. But it was so thin. I was listening to a fabulous podcast at the time of the anniversary and just going through it. And they described it as being so thin that you could have taken a ballpoint pen and just pierced a hole in the side of it because it had to be so light.
Yes.
Even though it was so light, it still only landed with 17 seconds of fuel left.
All those stats were extraordinary, weren't they? I mean, the computing power of a Ford Cortina was greater than that of the Apollo 11 capsule. I mean, it's just astonishing how premature and basic it was.
What was the average age of people who worked on the Apollo 11 mission?
I guess it would be surprisingly low. So I'm going to say 27.
Did you know that?
No.
That is so good, Andy. It was 27. And because they went around America and not hired. They didn't go and sort of say, "Will you all get on? Will we be team?" They just went around and said, "Who are the best maths nerds in America?" And they hauled them from small towns and big cities. They got them all to Cape Canaveral and they got them doing sums with slide rules and sticky tape and spit and pencils.
And presumably they had the confidence of youth not to panic when there was a crisis.
Absolutely.
So Apollo 13, for instance, you would have seen those same 27. 7 year olds.
Well, they've been 29 by then. but yes, it's astonishing, the moon landing story. But also, when it comes to brands and branding and why there've been no sort of rugby brands campaigns, I'm fascinated by the brands of the rugby teams. The Springboks. I mean, it's not exactly an eland, is it? I mean, the Springbok is a nimble, yes, deft little pronking creature. It's hardly butch as an image. And then you've got Japan, who are the blossoms, and England, who are
roses.
The roses, and Wales that are vegetable, what they're leeks.
Yes.
And
New Zealand
are ferns. I mean, rugby needs to butch up a little bit, surely, when it comes to imagery. It's a really strange combination of sort of brand identities, isn't
well,
it?
Well, seeing that they're almost all plants or horticultural names of some kind, perhaps the only one that we could have adopted would have been the baobab if we wanted to be, you know, huge and substantial and perhaps not terribly mobile, but they're ugly, but they get you there.
They're ugly, but they get there. You've got in front of you a manual for a brand.
Well, it's actually the New Zealand Rugby Union brand book. It's from the late 80s. It was, if I may name drop, it was given to me by a mate of mine, Murray Mexted.
He's famous.
Who knew that I had an interest in both brands and sporting brands. And as you open the cover of this A3-ish size thing, there is a full page spread of an advertisement. It's got three all black rugby jerseys hanging on a rail, and on each of them, where you would normally have the care instructions, there is an alternative line of copy put in. So the one says just that: care instructions for maximum wear, sacrifice everything. But the one I love is the one that says, most jerseys keep you warm, only one makes you shiver. And when you
And that is from when?
I think it was about the late 80s. It might be a little bit more.
Oh, that is so. I'm shivering. I mean,
but that's how long New Zealand have understood that as a small nation, the advantage they can leverage out of having a really strong, emotionally supported brand across the nation. They understand their brands. They publish a brand Bible, for heaven's sake. And that to me, shows how far ahead of the game they've been, not just on the field, but off the field as well.
It helps that they've been dominant in world rugby for generations.
Yeah.
And in that, then leveraging that dominance by creating the brand around the dominance. And they were also very cheeky in the run-up to, I think it was the England game. They got knocked out by England. And they were just, Air New Zealand was really unkind. There was a real big spoof advertising campaign. I mean, they're eating humble pie now, but it was marvelous to see a country brand. I would have loved to have seen SAA, had they had the money, do anything vaguely similarly creative.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if it was a spoof or not, but Air New Zealand was rebranded, according to their advertising, as Air All Blacks for the time, and the aircraft were repainted. But there was a bit of hubris in the end, because while having a dig at the Australians in one piece of advertising, they suggested that they were in a different league, and in fact, of course, the next round they got knocked out themselves. So,
yeah, but that's fine.
I mean,
one needs that joshing. One needs to have those rivalries, and it builds. You can build your brand off an event by being proud of a national team, by being supportive of a national team, and by then also undermining their rivals.
And the brand overrides the reality to many in many cases. So, for instance, I would suggest that in a year's time, when all of the immediate impact of the World Cup has left the media, that if you did a study that said which country has the best rugby team in the world, the majority will still say New Zealand, even though the facts of the World Cup results speak otherwise. That's the power of a brand. It overrides knowledge and rational information.
Do you know there's a Springbok Museum?
I didn't.
The Springbok Experience Rugby Museum. You can go to it. Oh, it closed permanently. We say to say the Springbok Experience Rugby Museum closed permanently from March the 31st, 2019. Oh, that's so sad.
Because the victim of perhaps lack of tourism, just like the World of Beer is closed or closing.
Yeah, I mean, the mere fact that you weren't that clued up on the fact that it existed brand Springbok.
Where was it, Bruce?
At the waterfront in Cape Town.
Right.
So it should have had a good location. It should have been prominent, but it just didn't. It won awards and all sorts of things. And unfortunately, it closed. Oh, well, that's pity. All the more reason for the Box to win.
Absolutely. Go, Bocker.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Oh, family politics in the Rice House must be so much fun. Andy Rice with Heroes and Zeros.